Raised Rowdy.
Welcome to the Raised Rowdy Podcast. I'm Nikki T.
My name is Kurt Ozon.
And today we have our Mr. Special Guestie, Mr. Paxton P.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you, brother.
It's a joy to be here.
Good morning to you guys.
I need a start.
Cheers to Surfside.
Yeah, I need a... I got
the half lemonade one.
I don't know what they are.
Cheers,
what is this
man.
One?
That one's just straight tea.
Straight tea. That's right up my alley.
Yep.
Being from the south.
It didn't quake it there. There.
Being from the south, you can't go wrong with anything.
Teased ice grill isn't.
My favorite thing ever is you.
Wow.
That's good, huh?
Oh my god.
Dangerous on a boat.
Yeah,
right?
Dangerous on a boat.
Well, you get a 4-pack to take home too.
Oh, absolutely. They'll be drank before I get home.
My favorite thing is that you were just before we started the podcast, were telling me how. You're going to get 2 hours of sleep tonight, and then when we're like, would you like to have a drink at 3:30 in the afternoon, you were like, yes.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely, man. It's a grind out here, so you got to do whatever you can do.
He's got that good young liver, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I wouldn't say it's young. I'm 28, so
yeah.
It's been through some terrible years when I was in college.
Civil War already.
Hanging out in college, so I didn't actually go. I just hung out with people there.
At this point, you will have played the Nothing Fancy Takeover.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a crazy night.
always a good time. It probably went pretty good, if I had to guess.
I would bet it went real good. Dude, Jackson killed the design, too, that, like, NASCAR.
Oh, so did he make
NASCAR
that?
Thing. Well, not him specifically, but his squad.
Yeah.
I think he had, like, a real designer make it.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Got to get this mic mic'd up. You know?
Got to get that mic
it up,
power,
baby.
Dude.
All right, well, how are you doing, brother?
Man, I'm good. Busy as always. I feel like you aren't ever not busy here, so.
Yeah, that's very true.
I feel like I don't see you guys any either. It's just like everybody's kind of doing their own thing every day. So.
That means it's working, though.
Yeah, that is. It's working.
If you're around too much, then you're not doing the thing.
Yeah, if you're out every single night, you might just have a drinking problem.
Well,
that's true.
There's nothing wrong with that. You can drink at home, too. So.
Yeah, that's true. It's way cheaper.
It's better to be too busy than not busy enough.
I mean, if I had some of these surf sides at home, I probably wouldn't ever leave either, honestly.
Well, you're going to have four. That's not enough to stay at home for too long.
Yeah, they won't make it home.
Yeah. It is also McElwain's birthday. Have a birthday, McElwain,
Woo!
Even though
happy
this will come out in a few weeks. But
yeah, happy birthday.
And thanks for playing his birthday bash.
Oh, I wouldn't miss it. Anytime you get together, Rusty Nail.
Yes.
I
mean, oh,
can't
also,
pass up on that.
Anytime we have an event at the Rusty Nail, $4 Surfsides.
Oh, dude, I'm down.
Aggressive and awesome. And we have a case of Surfsides for all of the folks to play.
Really?
Yeah, so you'll have some more of these luxurious drinks.
I mean, playing Broadway tonight just gets better and better, it sounds like. I'm going to have a great time.
You're going to have a blast.
Yeah.
So what have you been up to, man?
Man, a lot of writing and really working on, like, my next projects.
Yeah.
I really wanted to, like, take a step back and, like, really dive into what I wanted to be as an artist and what kind of music I wanted to focus on, and that's kind of what I've dialed back on to probably the past 6 months. I know it feels like I haven't been, like, as active on the socials, but, I mean, I had to slack off on something to dedicate time towards something else. And I'm excited to get these songs out. I've worked really hard over the past year and a half, 2 years, writing with some incredible people, so... These are some of my favorite songs I'm going to be putting out this year.
Yeah.
I'm super excited.
I was just going to ask. I'm not, you know, a singer-songwriter, believe it or not. What is the process of, like, working and grinding on that kind of thing, like developing your artistry and writing? Like, what is your process
for
on
me?
That?
Like, when I first moved here, I thought, like, I like everybody, I feel like they got it figured out when you get to town. Mm-hmm. But I realized quickly that I didn't have it figured out as much as I wanted to or had hoped to. I mean, I kind of went through the motions like my first year here, and, you know, I had some good songs come out and some great success on those, but I really wanted to, like, connect deeper with myself and, like, who I am and where I'm from and kind of resemble that through the music that I've been writing. And when you get in a room with, like, good writers and stuff that really, like, know you on a personal level, I feel like it's easier to do that, which that's what I've been trying to focus on, is, like, writing with the people that know me best and that are okay if I come in with a stupid idea that, you know, I want to write that day and they're okay with writing it and just seeing where it goes. But I feel like I've really done that the past couple months, like, find out who I want to be as an artist, and I'm excited, man.
I think that's an important part. We talk about that a lot, is, like, there's so much good music, honestly.
Oh, yeah,
it's crazy how much good music there is in the world. But having a good idea of who you are, what you want to sound like, who you want to express yourself as, like, what part of you you want to show to the fans and the crowds and everything like
and
that.
And it really takes, like, diving deep within yourself, because I feel like it's so easy to, like, look at other people when you get up here and see what everybody else is doing and, like, what's working for somebody else. Just because it works for them doesn't mean it's going to work for you. Just,
right.
But, just, like, in a sense, it's like trying to copy, like, TikTok videos that somebody else does, like, how they start their videos. It's not going to work for you. You just kind of have to be, like, genuine with yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what I've tried to do.
It's funny to hear you talk about coming to town and thinking you had it made
and
then realizing you didn't. That was my favorite part of I went and saw Church recently, acoustic. And he talks about how he's like, I'm going to move the town and take this town over just immediately.
Yeah.
And then he didn't. And he ended up, he was singing Fiddle and Steel, like, down on 2nd Avenue for years. And, you know, so it's like, even Church had the same kind of a thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, no one truly has it figured out, especially when you first move.
I mean, I feel like you want to think you do when you get here, but it's just... If my biggest piece of advice, if I could tell somebody that's, like, newly moving here, don't be afraid to, you know, like, put yourself out there and, like, go and do certain things. But everybody else's path is also not yours either. So, correct. I mean, it could work for somebody in 6 months or it could take you 8 years. It's just being okay with being here. I mean, I'm a lot older than most of the guys in my friend group, but I have no problem, like, you know, grinding it out and staying here and doing what I moved here for.
Right. Yeah. And honestly, I think you're – one of the people that I talk about, like, you're willing to go out on the road and play full band gigs too. You know, a lot of people will get to town and they'll think that it's going to happen here. Whereas, like, you're like, let's go out, let's play gigs. Let's grind.
I'll play anytime. And, like, before I moved to town, I'll be completely honest, I did not know what a pub deal was before I moved to Nashville. Like, I wasn't somebody that moved here wanted to, like, specifically be like, hey, I want to be a writer. Like,
yeah.
I wanted to be an artist. Like, I knew what songwriters were, but I didn't know, like, how deep the business went. Like, you have people that, like, book you rights, and there's a whole – writing's a whole different side of the business, like, but I moved up here specifically to be an artist. Like, that's what I fell in love with, like, my whole life. I've, you know, loved music, but really before I moved to town, I knew it was something I wanted to at least try. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was running out of time, so I said, you know, let's go, see what we got.
So where you're from originally –
I'm from Phoebe, Mississippi. It's about 20 minutes north of Starkville, Mississippi. Mm-hmm. It's a small town. Like, I say this all the time. It's the only way to describe it. It's so small, we don't have a Dollar General. I mean, we got two gas stations and a diner, and that's about it.
How many churches?
We've got, I think we only have one that's actually active right now. It's Phoebe Baptist Church. The other one closed. I mean, my town's small. Like, everybody that lives there, I'm related to.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even kidding. My grandma had, like, 14 brothers and sisters, and I'm related to so many people. We
Everyone's
all live
cousin.
There. Yeah. Oh yeah.
How many mosques do they got?
we have none of those.
That's funny. So was, like, Rick's your kind of, like, hometown venue?
Yeah, Rick. I claim that as my hometown venue for sure. Mm-hmm. That was, like, where I played my first big show. Mm-hmm. And I say this anytime I talk to anybody about Rick's Cafe. I owe Rick a lot. I mean, he gave me opportunities when I really didn't deserve them.
Yeah.
And for the first probably 2 years I played there, I probably didn't put 50 people in that room. And he just kind of kept letting me come in and play. And I remember we played this one show. It was in the summertime. So granted, like, students weren't in town or anything either, but we had like 21 people come through the door, 21 tickets sold. And he was like, come up to the office with me. And we get up there and I'm like, hey man, look, before we get going, if you don't want to bring me back, like, I get it. Like, I'm probably not even paying your electric bill tonight. Mm-hmm. And he just, you know, he kept giving me opportunities, and it finally just kind of popped off for us. And I'm super thankful for him. He's helped open a lot of doors for me, so I owe a lot to that guy.
They're starting to do those outdoor shows there, too.
Yeah,
that
I know.
That's the first one.
I'm excited. I'll actually be down there that weekend. I play the next night inside, so.
Oh, nice. We're thinking about coming down for that.
It'll be fun, dude.
Matt loves Rick so much, too.
Oh, I love that place. Yeah. It's one of my favorite places to go play.
It's great.
No doubt.
Yeah. So we also had you play Floribama for us last year.
Oh, man.
The first ever Raise Rowdy Floribama takeover.
That should happen again sometime.
I mean, it's going to happen again.
It should definitely happen again.
Yeah. Is this a formal announcement right now? Or?
Yeah, we're going to do it.
There you go.
We were, like, talking about, Matt and I were like, okay, what do we want to do? How many times do we want to be out of town? Where do we want to spend those days?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, Key West is cool, but the beach sucks.
Yeah, you can't really go on the beach there.
Like, yeah.
It's $1 trillion to get there.
Yeah, everything's expensive. Yeah.
Always hungover on the flight back.
Yeah.
Delta robs you of, you know, your flight on the way down there, yes. like $700.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I was like, or Floribama's beach is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And like there's housing for people.
And bushwhackers.
Yeah. The artists actually get paid even at least a little.
Yeah.
You know? Awesome. So I was like, that seems like a better option for me if we were going to pick between those two.
I love it. It's a great spot, man. I've had some very fun times there. I played a radio show down there with Michael, and it was a blast.
Oh, pure chaos, yeah. I'm sure.
Dude, I love it. We played there like a few weeks ago, and it was Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, my.
It was insane. It was crazy.
And the people tip there, too, which is great.
Oh, yeah.
They tip.
We played the tent stage the first night.
That's where I played. And,
man, like when we got there, the sound guy walked up to us. He's like, this is like the most people we've seen before a show started. And I'm like, well, I'm telling you, like, everybody from where I'm from, like, they vacation down here because it's, like, 4 hours from where I live. So, like, I had a bunch of friends and, like, family down there, and, I mean, it got rowdy.
That's sick.
We, you know, like, they give you, like, the 45-minute slots, and you can take a break. We just played 4 straight hours. Like, I had so much fun.
Yeah, as long as you don't have to pee, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was hot, but, like, I'm that kind of person, like, I get, like, an adrenaline high off of, like, live performance shows, and I, like, don't want to stop. Like, if I take a 15-minute break, I might come back up the next 45 minutes and look like a knot on a log and just be, like, out of it.
Yeah, if you're sending it, you want to send
it. Oh, yeah. Full-fledged. 4 hours.
That's addicting, huh?
Oh, it is. Yeah. I love it.
And, I mean, also, it's a great place to make some new fans because there's people all from different areas that are all there, too.
And, like, they care about the music, too. That's why when we played y'all's thing, it was, like, September last year.
Yeah. Yep.
I noticed, like, a lot of people came up to me after and was like, you know, where can I find you, like, socials or Spotify? Do you have your own music? And that was, like, the coolest thing for me because, I mean, you don't really get that up here, like, if you do the Broadway thing. Like, they mostly come in and say, here's $20 to play some Morgan Wallen song. Yeah. And that's about it.
Can you play the Moneybag Yo Morgan Wallen song?
Yeah. I actually got asked to play Broadway Girls like 2 weeks ago, and I was like, sure, let me just go get a DJ and somebody to throw the 808 tracks on, and we got you, man.
Yeah, it's one of those things. At Live Oak now, it's starting to get touristy enough where I have to tell people that the writer's round and what it is.
I've been up there like twice now that somebody walks up with like a $20 bill and like, Tyler Childers? I'm like, it's a writer's round.
Okay.
Diamond Rio? I'm like, no, like, this
you're
is
like,
our
you give
music.
Me $100, I'll do it. I ain't doing it for 20, though.
That's very funny. Hey, I've only seen that, like, once, though.
Oh, it happens a good bit now.
Yeah?
Yeah, especially on Sunday, because it's like, there's still tourists in town. So.
And they're wanting to go somewhere chill. They've had enough of Broadway.
Yeah.
They find out you can go get somewhere for drinks that are cheaper than, you know, $9 beer.
So twice a night out, like when I kick off the first round, I tell them, hey, these are their original songs. They're not going to play any cover songs. You can't request anything unless it's their song that they wrote. And then I'll do it again in the middle just to kind of make the best shot at that not happening.
It still happens.
Work. Yeah, for
sure. It's been a lot more common, too. Like when I first moved to town, like Live Oak was like the premier place to go for rounds and like, it really wasn't touristy, I felt like.
Yeah. Midtown has gotten more touristy over the last couple of years. Especially like post-COVID, it's started to amplify.
I'm now realizing how long it's been since I've been into Midtown or into Live Oak. I need to come in and say, I almost came yesterday, but then I didn't.
Yeah.
But I almost did.
Corey and the crew crushed. Mm-hmm. They also introduced us to this girl, Victoria Camp, who was awesome.
Cool.
Julia Kate's been writing with her, and she's great. I heard her sound check, and I was like, okay.
You will find some talented people on the stage in Live Oak.
Yeah.
Any given night, too. I mean, you can go any given night, and there's talented people there.
Yeah. We're, have you heard that building's closing?
Yeah. I was, telling the guys the other day in the group chat, I said, when we find out the last day that Live Oak's open, we should get there when they open and stay till they close.
Matt's round.
Hey, put me in on that. I'll do it.
It's a Tuesday. Matt's hosting.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
I'm there for
Tuesday
it.
Tuesday in July.
I'm there for it.
Oh, my God. That's going to be so much fun.
Sheer degeneracy.
I'm probably going to get there at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
I mean, they're open.
It's going to be like bluegrass brunch or 90s brunch or whatever on a Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah. I mean, they're just moving down the street, but that building is my favorite, man.
Oh, man, I love that place. Like,
me too.
Before I moved to town, I was like watching, you know, you guys do the podcast and stuff and listening to y'all stuff and then seeing everybody at Live Oak. So when I first moved here, I was like, well, I know what Live Oak is, so that's where I'm going to hang out. Like, I met some of my best friends up here at Live Oak. So super, I mean, cool. It's sad to see it go, but I it mean, is. I'm sure they'll improve and
yeah,
keep
they're
it
still
going to
have Live Oak. It's just going to be a couple buildings down.
Yeah,
and
that's where Corey had his wedding rehearsal or whatever at the top bar above Doghouse.
Oh yeah,
super nice up there.
Yeah, it is cool. I think they're planning to do some like ticketed events.
Really?
Kind of thing.
That'll be awesome. Where's it going to be at?
Doghouse.
Oh really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they bought that building.
That's cool.
Rented it. I don't know. Bought
leased or whatever.
That'll be
money
awesome.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't go away for good, I'd be depressed.
And I think from what they said, they'll have right of refusal for the same building once it's up. But they got a 5-year lease at that new building. So.
I hope they take it back.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, man. I guess that's kind of one way to keep tourists out. You know, it's like charge a couple bucks to get in, you know? Then you don't have people requesting Wagon Wheel.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's pretty true. Yeah. Or maybe they'll request it and not want to pay for it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you got those people everywhere. Like.
Oh, yeah. I remember telling this guy, he was there with his wife or fiance or whatever. And I was like, he's like, hey, you think they'll play this song? It's like my wedding song. I was like, well, none of these people wrote it, man, and that's what this is. I was like, but there's 100 bars a half a mile away where any of those people.
They'll be gladly to do it for 20 bucks.
Yeah, and he's like, well, they did it at every other bar I was at. I was like, yeah, but this isn't that bar. And I literally, like, told this guy 10 times. Like, he was pretty drunk. But I told him, like, 10 times no. And
he
then
was definitely under the influence.
Oh, yeah. And then he went up to and asked someone, and they were like, no, man. And he, like, got mad. I'm like, I just told you, like, 20 times they were going to say no.
Bro, but drunk people are so annoying as I drink my drink.
Yeah, I'll take another sweet.
I know, because I know you dealing with it. You gig in all kinds of places.
Man,
you're kind
I play
of a
anywhere.
I love it. I know it's like, that's what Luke was doing those long cover sets and stuff.
Yeah.
Growing up, you know.
So. I enjoy it though. Like a lot of people you talk to, and like I had so many people tell me when I moved to town, you know, stay away from Broadway. You'll get sucked into it. I mean, you can. I can definitely see how you can, but
it's good money. That's why
it's good money, and it's decent exposure. I just enjoy playing. Like I don't really care. Like I'll go out. I love going out of town. Like because those shows are obviously more fun. Like hit a couple college towns. Like do a Thursday through Saturday run, and then come back home Sunday. But I have nothing against going down to Broadway and playing a good shift. I just love playing music with my friends, and it's just kind of who I am. So,
dude, that's me to a T.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I just love playing. Like, even, like, when we're not touring with Luke, I'll go out and get in a van with somebody and do a weekend and tour just being in a van or whatever just because I love playing shows.
If you're doing it for the money, you're totally doing it for the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I've said this to a million people. I don't care if I, you know, make $1 million. I mean, obviously that'd be cool, but
that'd be sick.
I'm not doing this for the money. I'm doing it because like this is actually what I enjoy doing. The money's good, you know, when you get to a point to where it is good, but it's not right now. But I mean, the money would be, you know, a plus, but I just love playing. I love being with my friends in a van, traveling, like just some of the best stories I could tell in my life are in a van.
Yeah. Well, and breaking Kato's stones, you know.
Yeah.
We love you, Brennan.
Yeah. One person I played with recently that has that love for music, and I'm in like that, like everyone I play with loves music, but there's that thing where they don't care when or where, they just want to do it all the time. Is I played a writer's round with Christian Bush, and that dude loves playing any kind of writing or playing or singing. And it doesn't matter if, you know, he's so successful with his band and as a producer and all that. But we got to play. He's like, dude, like, what if I played mandolin on this? And, like, what if I jammed on, you know, like, I'm like, this guy, like, he's like me. Like, he just loves playing music.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's cool.
That's the type of people you want to be around.
Yeah,
too.
Man, like, it was so much fun.
When you start getting stressed out and stuff, like, you lose interest in it. Like, just
or
have
jaded.
Fun. Yeah. 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 It doesn't take long either, but. You just have to enjoy it. Like, that's the biggest thing I've learned being up here. Just enjoy like what you're doing. Because 5 years ago, I would have never thought I would be doing what I am now. But
yeah, it's all part of the process.
Yeah, it just takes time.
Yeah, and you have new music coming out, which we talked about, but not specifically about the song that's going to be releasing around this podcast.
So I'm super excited. This is so funny enough. It's almost a year old from the day I wrote it. And I wrote it with Max King, Evan Mayo, and it's one of the last songs I wrote with Sam Johnson.
Yeah.
And
we miss you, Sam.
I miss him so much, and I think this was like him kind of letting me know, you know, he's still along with my process. I was originally going to put it out on June the 29th, I think was the date. Something ended up happening. I had to get it remastered and get some things finished on it. And then I went, like, looked on my calendar, and, you know, counted, you count, like, 5 weeks, give it enough time to sit on DistroKid, and yeah. I just put it out for July 12th. I was like, cool, July 12th.
Yeah.
Well, it ended up being, I looked at my phone, July 14th was the day Sam passed. So I looked at my phone, I was just like, that's Sam telling me, you know, keep grinding, dog.
Yeah.
He's out there watching. But we wrote this song, and it was one of the most fun times I've ever had in a room. It was the first ride I'd ever written with tracks. Written with like a track guy, and it totally changed my perspective because I'm not the best guitar player in the world. I mean, I can play four chords and, you know, make it through a song, but that was the most fun that we've ever had in a room. And I think we wrote it in like an hour and a half. And I think it's because we were just having fun, but it's called Cry Me a River, and it is like to a T, like describes me. I grew up bass fishing my whole life, and I swore that's what I was going to do one day. I was going to become a pro at it, which I dedicated a lot of time to fishing tournaments to the time I was 13 to 21, 22 years old, and I finally just said, you know, I love fishing, but this is making me not appreciate it anymore. So yeah. I stepped away from it, and then that's kind of when I fell in love with music again. But I'm excited. This is my favorite song I've ever written,
It's a great song. And we've heard it extensively at Riders Rounds too. So we kind of got to hear it from when it was originated to...
It's changed a lot.
Yeah.
It has changed a lot. The production was awesome on it. Josh Bright did a killer job on it.
I love Josh.
So shout out to him. I can't wait
did
for everybody else
to
hear it.
Did you go down to Alabama or did he come up here?
So he came up here. We did the live tracking at Grady's place.
Awesome.
And then I always go down to Boaz to do the vocals.
Vocals.
So we'll do like 2 or 3 vocals a day and then... You know, I'm worn the hell out and go back home, and we'll rest up and come back like 2 weeks later, and we'll do it all over again.
Some more.
Yeah,
he did a lot of Uncle Cracker stuff too.
Yeah, yeah. he's told me several stories about people he's worked with, and I'm just like, this is crazy.
Crazy, all the way down in Boaz, Alabama too.
He's got a nice little setup down there, and he's helped me out a lot. You know, working with my schedule, because I mean it is 2 hours away, and you know he knows that you know I'm writing or. You know, I'm out on the road, so whenever I can make it work, he'll come in and, you know, pull overtime for me. So,
yeah, that's great.
He's awesome for that.
So, do you guys have, like, a marketing plan, or do you have any videos recorded yet or not yet?
I've got a bunch of videos I've been making myself. A lot of them are just specifically for the release day, but mm-hmm. I've got some other stuff that we're working on, too. This is the most fun I've ever had marketing a song just because it's, like, It feels like it's so me that I can just, like, really be myself with it. And that was, like, my goal with these next songs I'm putting out is to, like, feel comfortable just, like, being myself.
Yeah.
Is the vibe of the song, like, more of a sad song or is it more fun? Or
I always describe it as, like, the modern-day version of I'm Gonna Miss Her, but it's a lot more funny. Like,
oh, cool. Like, sort of early aughts, like, kind of country that's like serious but like has a fun side to
it. It definitely has a fun side to it, and it's got a little bit more of that rock side to it, which mm-hmm. we had a blast like playing around with it and mm-hmm. coming up with the ideas for the production on it, so it turned out super good. I've been the most anxious for this release than any other song I put out just because I can't wait to see what people think of it.
Yeah, and you've had some success with previous releases, so like every time you have one do well,
yeah.
kind of builds that base.
It does. And I was super shocked. I'd put out songs before I moved here, but Missing Mississippi I wrote with Jordan Rager, and it was just me and him. It was probably another one of my favorite writes I've had. We just kind of let a story out and just put it out in a song, which I tell everybody, songwriting is nothing more than free therapy. That's all it is. But it did super well when it came out and got put on some big playlists in town, which, you know, just kind of made me like realize like, okay, like, you know, I can compete up here with a big dog. So
yeah, man, that's a big part of it too. Once you hit those playlists, then they're paying attention to your future releases.
Yeah. Then they're watching you. I mean, and that's what it takes. Like I remember seeing the first time I got put on like Next from Nashville. I'm like, wow, you know, I just moved here, but seeing my name pop up on that playlist, I was like, all right, well, I can compete with them. So let's run with the big dogs and see what happens.
That's like getting on the radio in 2024, right?
Yeah. Who listens to the radio now?
Single moms, people that aren't as big a country music fan. They're still really big listening base for radio shows, but that listening base is very much more the casual fans.
Yeah.
People specifically in the music industry don't understand who that is because we're all not those people.
Like I
listen
never...
to our podcast with Chris Owen and you'll learn all about how many people listen to the radio.
Yeah. I never like get in my car and think to listen to the radio. There's always like a podcast I want to hear, like somebody dropped a new record that I want to listen to. And like, I'm the type of person, if somebody drops a new album, I'm listening to it from top to bottom. Like, I'm not going to go pick songs. I want to go listen to the whole thing.
You are an active listener.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of passive listeners.
Yeah.
The other day you were like someone driving home from the grocery store and they've got kids in the back. They turn the car on, the radio turns on, they don't change it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They leave it on whatever station it's on.
And if it hits a commercial, maybe they change it to the other station they listen to, too.
I'm the type of person, like, if this is probably bad of me to be this way, but, like, if there's a song that comes on that I have played over 1,000 times, I'm, like, 3 seconds in, if I recognize it, I'm changing it so fast. I just can't do it at this point.
I'm the same way with albums. I'll go back to like Dr. Dre's Chronic, the 2001. Yeah. And all the hits, I will skip. And all the B-sides, I'm like,
Listen to those deep cuts. That's where the good music's at.
Well, and it's harder nowadays because deep cuts don't exist when you're releasing singles.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that's kind of the way it's turned. I feel like everybody's just single every 6 weeks. And I mean, there's still people doing the album thing, but I feel like you have to be really established. Because my thing is I don't want to put together an album right now and put together, you know, 10 great songs and people listen to three of them, four of them, five of them, one of them, maybe one of them at this point. Yeah.
No, it's so true though. It's funny how it works because as you see, like Zach Bryan, Luke, Morgan Wallen, they can put out a double record or a triple record and it all gets consumed.
I mean, they could tell you 12 hours before I'm putting out a single tomorrow and it's going number one.
Well, Morgan just deactivated his Insta account.
He's got something going on. He's got something up his sleeve. Yeah, that's what I think.
This is why I did it, so we talk about it.
Yeah. That's how it works. But it's one of those things where if Morgan does anything, people pay attention.
Yeah, people's paying attention to every move he does.
Right. So, of course, he's going to have the ability to do things like that. Anything he does, they're like posting about on Instagram.
It doesn't take long in TikToks. There's somebody telling the whole news story about him deleting his account or whatever, and making their own assumptions of what's coming next.
But as an independent artist, you have to figure out what your version of that is.
Yeah.
Right? It's not just easy as shutting off your Instagram
account.
No,
it's not. If I shut off my Instagram, ain't nobody going to know, probably.
Right. They'd be like, wait, I haven't seen anything from Paxton in a while. Yeah. I wonder where he went.
Or they just won't even notice.
Yeah, they probably just wouldn't even notice.
But that's the thing, is it's just the level of where you're at. So it's just being mindful of where you're at and working towards the things that you can control.
I feel like you got to be appreciative of where you're at, too.
Yes.
I know, like, when I first got to town, I really wasn't appreciative of where I was just because I wanted to, you know, I'm an impatient person anyways.
Most people are.
About everything. But music specifically has been the hardest thing for me to have patience about, which I've gotten a lot better at it. But it's just because, like, when I say, like, I want it so bad, I want to be able to go out and, like, play on the biggest stages, play the biggest shows. And that's what I moved up here for. So, I mean, that's the main goal, but just having patience with it has been the biggest test for me.
We've interviewed so many different artists, and I think one of the themes that is reoccurring is how much patience you need.
Yeah.
Like to hurry up and wait. And it's like, you wrote a song. Well, I want it to be out now. Well, it's like, well, I got to find the producer.
Yeah.
Then you got to put on, you know, cut everything. You got to wait to get your date to record it. And then put on DistroKid and wait and wait and wait. And you're like, I just want this music out. I just want to play these stages. And
that's the hardest part.
It is, for sure.
Waiting is the hardest part.
I heard that somewhere.
Yeah. Also, another theme is hating TikTok.
Yeah. Nobody likes the grind of social media because everyone in their head that they would come to town, write great songs, sing them, and then it would just work.
Yep.
And that's not the game anymore.
I wouldn't say I'm one of those people that love TikTok. I mean, I'm appreciative of like what it can do for you. Mm-hmm. But like I miss like when Brantley and like Jason and Luke and all those guys were coming up. I feel like you just like, you put a band together and you went and played shows, and that's how people found you. And like, that's what I'm the best at. But
Luke got big on Vine, then big on YouTube.
I remember Vine. Vine was like big in my day.
Well, Elon's like hinting that he might bring it back. It's a Twitter property.
I love Vine.
So we might.
I think it was
Vine
better
back.
Than TikTok.
Yeah.
Sorry, TikTok, seconds. But I love Vine.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, nostalgia is a powerful drug, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's always like Nick preaches, you know, for artists to break. He has like these qualifiers, but one of them is viral moments, and it doesn't mm-hmm. have to be through social media.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I played for Michael Ray, and he was on a show like The Voice or whatever, mm-hmm. I forget what it was called, and so was Miranda, and so was Carrie Underwood, and there's a million different ways to get it, you know. It could be like Stapleton had it with
Timberlake.
Yeah. And so it doesn't have to be social media, but it's just like if you're at home and you're not gigging, it's like you might as well be grinding on that because you're not getting the opportunity to go on The Voice every day, so might as well, you know. Or whatever.
Do some dances or I guess just find what works for you.
Yeah. And I love seeing that different things work too.
Yeah.
And at first it felt like TikTok was very much, hey, you had to just do it with your phone and you had to kind of talk to the screen.
Yeah.
Now different types of content are working on there too. Yeah. And high quality shot content's starting to work on there. Before it was like only kind of bootleg stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed like one thing. Just from like me studying the little bit I've noticed about TikTok, a lot of times, like if you use like an outsourced app like CapCut or something and use that and post it to TikTok, TikTok recognizes you use that and they won't push your video as hard.
Yeah.
So I've gotten to where from now on, like if I make a video, I try to film it through TikTok.
And well, they want you to upload all in their app
and
too.
Edit it in their app, and your views are just so much better.
Yeah.
And going live now.
Yeah.
You could just throw a phone up on stage and go live for 4 hours.
I do it all the time. Like, if I play downtown on Broadway, I'll throw my phone up and be like, hey, I know y'all probably don't care what I'm doing right now. But
more than no people
if you're
care.
Scrolling, you're going to watch. Somebody will stop and look at it, and that helps. Like, even if they, you know, you get 30, 40 follows. I mean, they add up.
Yeah. If you get 30, 40 follows 30 times every 6 months, that's a good thing.
Yeah. You're doing something at that point.
Yeah. So how many songs do you guys have that you're doing as part of your release?
So after Cry Me a River, I have one more that's already mastered, ready to go.
Yeah.
It's called Coming Over Again. I read it with Evan Mayo, Clay Barker, and Justin Holt. Hmm. I love that one, too. At first, I didn't think I was going to put it out, but the more I kept listening to the work tape, I really fell in love with it. Mm-hmm. And after that one, there's three more. I'm not going to drop them yet just because I'm not 100% sure which ones are going to be in order. But I've got a bunch of stuff ready to go this year. I'd probably say altogether probably 8 songs that
That's
I'm
great.
Planning to put out over the next course of this year.
That's great.
And the goal is every 6 weeks.
Yeah. 6 to 8 weeks seems to be the sweet spot for everyone.
It is.
Where it ramps up, then it starts ramping down, and you have something
else
to help it ramp up.
You have something else to go. And that's the hardest part, I feel like, is because you've got to really stay dedicated to – you know, marketing.
Yeah.
And I've tried to just stay relevant at marketing, not just through the music, but like whether it be merch. I did a collaboration with Mossy Oak. Blessed to know those guys. It's 15 miles down the road from my house. So I know all of those guys, and they helped me out when I needed. And I did a collaboration with Mossy Oak and got some Mossy Oak tree stand shirts made. And I threw up a link and was just like, hey, I'm going to pre-sell these and just see how many we get. And like the first 2 hours, I sold like 82 of them.
That's great.
Wow.
So anything like that, like, and I'm a real big outdoors guy, so I mean that kind of just fits my brand in itself. So but shout out to Mossy Oak for helping me out, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm seeing how you and Jamie could be buds because he's always wearing Mossy Oak.
I'm a bottom land guy till the day I die.
It's a great pattern.
I think it just comes with being from Mississippi, too.
I think so, yeah. I mean, like, you wrote with Dan and Reed, too, right? Haven't you?
I wrote with Dan and Jamie and Adam.
And they're from Mississippi, so.
Yep. They actually went to Mississippi State, which is where I say I went to college there. I went to the junior college right down the road, but I went for a year, and I said, you know, this is not for me. So I quit, lost my scholarship, too. I had an academic scholarship. I mean, I might not look like the smartest person in the world, but I had like a 24 on my ACT, so I got to go to junior college for free. But
sick.
I gave up on that and just kind of stayed and partied with all my friends that were there. And after they got their degrees, their 4 years was up, I was like, what do I do? Because I didn't get a degree, so I don't know what, you know, what the hell I'm going to do. But
it's like Animal House, but the Nashville story.
And then, funny enough, like, my granddad was a songwriter.
No shit.
Like back before I was born, and my uncle plays drums. He's had a band like my whole life, and I always loved music. Like, there's videos of me, you know, singing the old Kenny Chesney, Keith Urban songs, standing in the living room, you know, with my parents and playing on CMT in the background. And I would always get up on stage and sing with my uncle and his band. But his two sons, my cousins, they really dove into the music thing. And I really didn't until I was probably like 21, 22. Yeah. I thought I was going to play baseball. I loved baseball. I loved sports in general. And somehow down the road, they were in a band and needed a singer. And I went out and I was just supposed to do one show with them. We did their whole set list, changed their whole set list. They were like a classic rock band, and we changed it all just to country songs I knew just to help get them through. And then after that, they're like, hey, man, let's just start a country band. Like, let's just.
They're like, that was pretty good.
Yeah. So we named it Third Generation because we were the third generation of musicians in our family. And we did that for a while, and then we kind of all went our own separate ways, and that's when I split off and specifically did the artist thing.
Yeah.
And then that's when I really fell in love with it again.
Yeah.
I was just like, I think I could, you know, do this.
And I know you met Matt before you were in town, right?
So actually, before I wasn't for sure moving here. I had, you know, planned on it. I met Matt on, what was that, Clubhouse, I think?
Yeah.
I used to get COVID. In Clubhouse all the time, like listen to everybody talk.
Oh, that app.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't even live here, but I can remember it was like February, and there was a huge ice storm in Starkville. And I was sitting on the front porch of my balcony just because I had all my roommates and stuff inside, and they were, you know, just loud and obnoxious, you know, drinking, being, you know, college students. And I was just like outside with my AirPods in, just like listening, like trying to learn what I could. And then I'd reached out to Matt about playing the round, and he had a spot open. So I drove up from Starkville. My grandparents live in Huntsville. Stayed there, drove up, played the round, went to Red Door, stayed till 2 o'clock in the morning.
Hell yeah.
And I got back and I was like, I think I'm actually gonna do it this time. I'm finally gonna make the move up here. And it was like the best decision I've ever made.
Yeah. Everyone says you have to be here, you have to be here. I remember thinking about, oh, I don't have to be here. And then I moved here and I was like, yeah, I had to be here.
But I was so on the fence about it just because I was pretty overwhelmed. Like, my songs were probably horrible. I mean, I know they had to be. I wrote all of them by myself. They weren't the best, but, you know, I was, you know, just excited to be in the room. But I'd gotten back that week and I was working for a contractor in Starkville. And the person supposed to be helping me that day didn't show up. And I'm over here building a whole front porch for a fraternity at Mississippi State. And I had met John Langston at Rick's through Rick and knew JD and all them. And John called me and was asking me how the trip went. And I was just like, man, I'll be honest. Like, it's kind of overwhelming. You know, I don't know what to think. You know, everybody up there is so good. And the one piece of advice that I tell everybody that he told me is you can't hit home runs if you don't get in the ballpark.
Yeah. Amen, dude.
And
very true.
As soon as he told me that, I was like, all right, I'm doing it. So I didn't, when I moved here, I didn't even have a lease signed until like I was driving here. Me and Drew Henry moved up here together and we were driving to Nashville and didn't have an apartment yet. We just knew we were coming to town.
That's
so we,
wild, dude.
So we found one on our way up here in good old Antioch and, you know,
it's the landing pad for all the people moving to town for sure.
Yeah, you just find something cheap and you're like, oh yeah, we'll go here.
And then you hear the gunshots and you're like, yeah. Oh yeah.
The gunshots fireworks. And sirens. Yeah. Yeah. Those aren't fireworks like you're used to hearing.
That's why you gotta keep one of these with you.
Yeah. America.
Come and take it.
So we made it out of Antioch now. I'm living over in Donelson. So.
Look, nice. What a blessing.
Love Donelson,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Made it 2 years there, and we survived. So
yeah, I was there like a year. I lived with Job and Dobro. Chris's family owned the place, and I had a bedroom with no window, so I didn't hear any of the gunshots.
Oh, you were good though. It didn't really bother me at first until I was like, you know, this isn't normal here. I don't think. Like,
yeah,
I hear gunshots back home in Mississippi, and I'm just like, oh, well, did you get him or
yeah.
Did you miss or what? It's a little different up here.
Yeah. It's
ga-ga-ga.
Yeah. Like, fireworks, and then no.
No, then, yeah. Then it comes back again a few minutes later.
Yeah. The other thing with Antioch is the planes.
Oh, man, I still have it by my house.
Trying to record a podcast over there with the planes over. I'm like, all right,
they fly over my house.
We would do a radio show, and we would just, like, stop talking while they were going overhead. Because the house we lived in was, like, you know, not the best in terms of.
I've gotten used to them at this point. Like,
yeah.
The runway, like, I think it's when they're flying out east, they fly literally right over my house.
Wow.
Right by Percy Priest. And I've kind of gotten just used to it at this point. I don't even notice it.
Yeah. That's, my friend lived in Pittsburgh, and her house was like literally a block and a half away from a train that ran pretty frequently. No.
I can't do that now.
I remember crashing at her house one time and just waking up and being like, what the hell is going on? And she was like upstairs, just all asleep. No problem.
I can do the airplanes, but the train horns, them things are just loud.
Wow. Yeah, it was wild.
But I mean, back where I'm from, people put those on their, you know, Z71. Mm-hmm. Oh, so, yeah. I mean, it happens.
Did you play baseball growing up or any sports?
I did. I played baseball till I was a senior in high school. I played from the time I was probably 6 years old. Mm-hmm. I loved baseball. I played basketball and football and stuff, but I never really loved anything like I did baseball.
Yeah.
I think that just comes from like being from around Starkville. Mississippi State's always had like a top tier program.
Makes sense.
I'm a diehard Mississippi State baseball fan. I love college football, don't get me wrong, but I look forward to college baseball season.
That's so crazy too, because I mean, in the Northeast where I'm from, baseball is nothing compared to football.
Yeah.
And down in the SEC, of course, football is huge too. But
oh, it's huge.
You have a very big baseball fandom down here.
Yeah, it's, and I mean, just the simple fact, like, their field when I was growing up, it was nothing like it is now, but it was still holding like the top 8, top 10 attendance records. But we got a new stadium in like 2017. It holds like 20-something thousand people.
Crazy.
And they just set the record 2 years ago for the most on-campus attendance, like 16,000-something people at a college baseball game.
So crazy.
But it's not like – it's not normal seats. So, like, in the outfield, there's what we call rigs, but they're just, like, flat platforms, and there's, like, one level, two level, three level, and everybody has grills. So everybody's out there grilling. You can bring your own beer. You can bring your own 10-by-10-by-10 cooler.
How could you not be romantic about baseball?
Yeah.
I fell in love with it there.
Yeah.
I mean, I tell everybody, I've been to Braves games. I sat in Delta Sky Club at the Braves games, which was awesome. But I still tell people that you haven't seen a baseball game until you watch it at Duty Noble. And you'll make, like, when the game's over, like, everybody will feed the opposing team, you know, like, food that they have left over. They'll put wings and hot dogs and burgers and chicken and stuff in a big tin pan and give it to all the other teams. And everybody comes out there and eats. It's like a big tailgate, like for football, but it's at a baseball game.
It's so crazy, though, that it's at the game.
There's condos in the outfield. Like, there's a 3-story condo loft.
Like Wrigley.
Yeah.
That's sick. I was never, like, a huge baseball fan. I'm from South Florida, and when the Marlins won the World Series, I was like, oh, cool, you know? And then, but when I moved to Boston, and I lived, like, in, like, the neighborhood of Fenway Park.
Oh, man, I want to go there.
Oh, dude, it's like, then I got addicted to it.
Did you go there a lot?
All the time,
man. I want to go sit on the Green Monster so bad. That's like one of my top bucket list goals.
It's awesome.
And I'm not even a Red Sox fan. I'm a Braves fan through and through, but I like old stadiums. So like going to Wrigley or going to Fenway, like stuff like that's like something
it's
really
special,
do.
Man. And the seats are old and wooden and small and cramped, and it's so fun. And a buddy of mine was like a beer tender there, and so, you know, I would go buy 2 beers. And when I came back, he would just, we had a system, you know? I won't out him or anything, but I had my beer tender guy, you know? So I'd buy 2 and I'd get 8 kind of a thing. You know?
Oh, that's a good friend to have.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, because they like counted the cups or something. He was a regular at this bar, Thornton's, that I used to go to. And so we had it figured out. You know what I mean?
You always have, it's the best to have bartender hookup. I remember there was this bar in Shadyside. I lived in town in Pittsburgh, and it was a bar I could walk to, and it was called
That's
Buffalo
dangerous.
Blues. It was. And we would go there, and we knew the bartenders, and if I would ask for a mystery beer, they would just give me a beer for free, but it would usually be like half of an IPA, like a wheat beer, and they just mix it. I was like, I don't care. I'll drink it.
There was a bar back in Starkville that used to do, they called it penny pitchers, but I mean, what it was is you went through the door, you paid $5, and it was unlimited beer all night.
It's crazy.
But it was PBR, PBR and shots. Keystone mixed.
Both.
Why? Yes. It was awful. But I mean, when you're poor and in college, you went there and you drank it.
I would do that right now. I'm just wondering, why do they mix it, though?
I don't know. I think it's like whatever they have like left over from that weekend.
Oh, they weren't mixing it in the pitcher.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It was just whatever beer.
It was just what, and when they run out, they were out, and then you have to, you know, buy regular drinks.
Yeah,
we
just
had
kill
a,
the keg, I guess.
We had a bar, Margaritaville, that had quarter drafts.
Oh man!
And you could get as many as you wanted at 10 o'clock when they stopped doing it. So you just load the table up with quarter drafts, and then you'd just have
just drink
beer.
All night.
Yeah, the rest of the night we'd go get like cups of ice and pour the beer in the cups of ice.
Man, my 21-year-old self was running around that place in Starkville. It's called Cowbells, mm-hmm. and I'd have the whole pitcher. I didn't need the cup; just give me the pitcher. Oh, I'll drink these.
That was me playing at. I'd make $40 playing. What's that trailer park? Trailer on Broadway.
Oh, Trailer Park.
Paradise Park.
Paradise Park. Yeah.
I used to play down there, and I would, you know, $40 Uber there and back, and make $40, and just be on stage with a picture of Natty Light. Yeah,
dude, I love that bar so much. I loved it so much, and it was plopped right in the middle of freaking.
There's so many bars down there I still haven't even been in.
Yeah,
like even like the classic ones, like Rippy's. I've never been in Rippy's. Really? Or yeah.
All right, what's your favorite Broadway bar?
Ooh, I would say I've played the Valentine so many times that I love it. Like,
mm-hmm.
I enjoy going there, but you can't beat like a good sunny afternoon, like on one of the rooftops downtown, like at Aldean's or something. I love like a good rooftop.
What about you, Kurt?
Roberts for sure. It's not even close.
I haven't been there either.
What?
Oh, no. We got to go there.
Bro, let's leave this podcast studio right now and let's go to Broadway. The music, they don't let you play any music after like 1990. Like Garth is too new. You know what I mean? It's like.
I think I would love that.
Oh,
place.
Dude. And the bands are always great. And you can get a recession special, which is like a fried bologna sandwich and a PBR for like $5.
That's the place I've heard about the bologna sandwiches from.
And the PBRs and Busch Lights all the time are, I think, $2.50 or $3.
It's free. Wow. It's free real estate down there, brother.
Yeah.
Man. It's so fun. And I love. Because it's right behind the Ryman, and there's that back door. So way back in the day, all the cats that were playing it, like Johnny Cash, whatever, they would walk out the artist entrance of the Ryman and walk into the back entrance of, like, Tootsie's or Roberts. So when you play the Ryman and you do that, it's just like you're part of history. I don't know.
Yeah.
It feels like I don't deserve to do this. I don't know why I feel that way, but
I've got to hit that. I wish I would have known that when I moved to town. I could have gone and got good and tied at Roberts for
like
$3 a beer
chips.
Before.
Yeah, bag of chips, bologna sandwich, a moon pie, I think, still.
Oh, dude, that's like classic
it's
Southern
magical.
Food right there.
Yeah, it's delicatessen.
Is the bologna sandwich good, though?
It is, man. I mean, for a fried bologna sandwich, it's good.
Is it just bologna, or has it got like mayonnaise on it?
Tomato, lettuce.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm going to have to hit that up tonight.
And they have other good sides that are not super expensive either.
Oh, I'm always down to I love food.
And you, their koozies, I don't know if they still have them. They probably do. Cowboy boot koozie. So you put your beer in it, and then it's got the boot.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
How have I never been there? I'm, like, shocked.
It's a blessing, dude. That bar rules.
I will also say I had a buddy of mine go through a bad breakup, and we're sitting on the porch at Red Door, and he's like, let's go to Broadway. And I'm like, no way, dude. I'm sorry that you got broken up with or whatever, and because the girl that he had broken up with walked into Red Door with someone else, you know, and I was like, and so he was like, let's get out of here, let's go to Broadway. I'm like,
classic Nashville.
I know. I'm like, I'm not going downtown, dude. And then next thing I know, I'm going downtown with him. And we went to Kid Rock's bar. I'm like, this is going to be so lame. I walked in, and the band was crushing.
Kid Rock has great bands.
Oh, they do.
What?
They
were playing
bands.
Luke, but they were playing Houston Got a Problem, and they were crushing it. It was two brothers, kind of heavier set guys with beards. I wish I knew their names. I used to know, and I had a great time there too. I'm like, okay, maybe like Broadway isn't as bad as.
No.
And I was just gonna say, I expected not like Kid Rock's or whatever. And it was pretty fun.
If I came in and somebody was playing Houston, We Got a Problem, I would have stayed in a heartbeat. That's
that's
my top three Luke songs of all time.
Kid Rock's is great. That's where if my friends are in town and they're like, where do we go to party? I'm like, well, we're kind of trashy. Let's go to Kid Rock's.
Yeah.
You know?
I send them to Roberts, though, because I'm like, the music, you get, because there's fiddle and steel and stuff in there, too. Like
Roberts or Big Shots is where I go bass layer.
Oh, right. Dude, bass layer for sure.
So that's where you go and you get like
is that
your
place
two
still
shots.
Open?
Big Shots, yes. It's Tommy that manages the Nails' brother that looks just like him is over there.
Gotcha.
You gotta be like, a good spot then.
It's a good spot.
I used to go there all the time when I used to work on second.
Oh yeah. Big Shot sucks, which means it rules. Yeah. You know? So it's kind of shitty, but it's like relatively inexpensive drinks. So you either go to Robert's, or if Robert's is too packed, you go to Big Shot's. And then you go to a regular bar where the drinks are
terrible. Hey, any shitty bar with cheap drinks is a good bar in my opinion.
Yeah, agreed.
Shout out Rusty Nail.
Yeah. See, love that place. Yeah. Go in there and give me some chicken wings, you know, drink some cheap beer.
Mm-hmm. All the finest fried foods.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Tots.
Oh, yeah.
Got to get the pizza rolls.
In the back room.
Mm-hmm. Play some volleyball.
Pizza rolls.
There was this place called Fran's by my house in East, and it's closed now, or it moved. And you would go in. It's one of those bars where only the same people go in. It's like, only the however many people it is, they don't get like walk-in customers. You know what I mean? And you open the door and everyone kind of turns around and looks at you and like, what are you doing? Like, and
yeah, who's
like,
this guy?
It was like a garage.
No, it was just a little dive bar. Yeah. You know, you can smoke cigs in it.
Man, East has some good food.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Franz, but the food there, it was pizza rolls.
I'd have loved it.
And so you're like, can I get some pizza rolls? Paper plate. Microwave, $4.
Yeah.
I'm in. I'm all about it. Give me a big old side of ranch and I'm good.
Bush.
Heavy.
Just Bush.
Yeah.
Just Bush. Yeah. No light. Yeah. Just Bush.
I love it.
It's fucking red, dude. I love it.
Well, one of my favorite bars in town is Shulman's in East.
That's a good spot.
Bar rules. It's like made to be like a dive bar, but it's a little bit classier than that. And the back area is like a smoking area, but it's pretty much inside. And it's great. And
I've never been to the bars over there. I've been to a lot of the food places there. Like,
we've got some drinking to do.
There's Mitchell. I think it's called Mitchell's Deli.
Yep.
That's like my favorite sandwich in town.
Oh, good. It's so good. Well, right next door is the Village Pub.
I haven't had
super
it
good.
It's always slammed when I go over there. I'm busy. Just like, yep, I'll go to Mitchell's and get the old classic again.
Yeah.
But Shulman's hamburger or cheeseburger, bro, they just have cheeseburger. That's on the menu.
That's all you need.
It just says cheeseburger. And it is so fucking good.
I'm all
I eat
about
it
food.
Every time I'm there, even if I'm not hungry, I'm just like, I'm gonna get it because it's so good.
We should just go on a food tour in East.
Well, I'm down.
We need Kurt, I'm not just driving.
You gotta stop at Grill Shack. Get a burger at Grill Shack.
Riverside Grill Shack?
Yeah.
Bro, that's right by my house.
Really?
I love that place. The fries are amazing.
No, the spicy ketchup.
Oh, it's a killer.
But like, hey, can I get like 10 spicy ketchups and then like 10 more too?
Dude, that's literally like walking distance. That's a good spot.
Where's I would be at? There every day.
It's on Riverside.
Where's that?
In East Nashville.
It's literally a shack.
It's literally like a block away from Shulman's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like further into East. Yeah.
Okay.
It's like one of the best burgers I've had in town. Dude. I think it's just because I like the spicy ketchup, honestly. I just cake it on there.
You're like, give me that spicy ketchup.
I like hot food.
When I moved to Nashville, the food scene here was like barbecue, that's it.
And hot chicken?
Hot chicken.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't what it was now in 2012.
I think there's just like so much culture in Nashville. You can go find different food
now it's
anywhere.
Like killing food like all over the place.
Yeah. There's very good food here. Pittsburgh had very good food too, so I was expecting it to be good here, just as popping of a city as it is.
That's somewhere I've never been. It's like the Northeast, and like that's like one of my bucket list places.
Let's do that too. Matt wants to go up for a baseball game, so we should probably do a baseball game up
there. Oh man,
we should go see Charles play at Stadium or Stage AE.
Yeah,
I meant to talk to you about that. Go see Charles Wesley Godwin. Go to a Pirates game.
Yeah, I like all of these things.
Just
sounds
love
like a
America.
Real good time.
Yeah, hating terrorists too. Yeah. Don't forget hating terrorists.
Yeah, I never do.
Yeah.
Summer
all right,
plans.
So we got to do food tour.
Yeah.
Baseball game.
Yeah.
Listen to Paxton P's music on the internet once it releases.
Yes.
Don't forget that.
Yeah.
Camden Yards, another beautiful ballpark in Baltimore. Baltimore.
I hate Baltimore.
Yeah, I know, but that ballpark's awesome though.
Is it?
Oh yeah. It's gorgeous.
I haven't been there. I'm not the hugest baseball guy. I like baseball, but I like watching it live. Yeah. I do not like watching it on TV.
Oh, I could watch it on TV all day long.
Man, I'd rather watch like tennis on TV.
Mm-mm.
And I don't even
I don't
really
know
like
nothing
tennis.
About tennis.
Same, but it's just at least it's like moving all the time.
I'll sit down and watch golf, honestly.
Yeah.
I love playing golf. Like I just recently picked that hobby up like 2 years ago, but
that's a good one to have.
I fell in love with it.
I can watch golf on TV for like a half hour and then I'm like, "All right, I want to do anything else."
Then you're sleeping.
Yeah. But I don't know, just baseball on TV, I just can't get into.
I feel like the College World Series has been more popular than recent years, just this year. I don't know why. It's like
I'm a huge fan of that.
Yeah.
I went when Mississippi State won in 2021. A lot of my friends played on that team. Mm-hmm. So I went up there. That was our first national championship of any sport. That's so it was sick. Like a really cool thing. So anytime they ever go back to Omaha, I will be there. I tell anybody, like, it's one of the coolest experiences I've ever been to. Just all the different teams and, like, that town, there's nothing there. It's a big city, but I talk to all, like, the locals and stuff. I'm like, do y'all have, like, tourists here? She's like, no. Like, that 2 weeks of the College World Series is the most busy time this town makes ever sense. Sees.
We played Green Bay and in Wisconsin, and I was like, I'll go for a run and just sightsee. Literally nothing in that town to do but houses. just drink beer. Some great
and go to Packers games.
And go to the Packers games. That's it, man.
There's probably some good cheese up there.
I imagine so.
Yeah, I think so. You know, but it's like, if you want, there's nothing like, what do people do there? It's like a glass factory. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing like,
I mean, nothing wrong with that. But not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just like.
Yeah, but you're not going to a glass factory every week to hang out.
Yeah. That's your weekend meetup spot.
Yeah, we're going. Let's go to the glass factory, see if we can get some stuff to fall on us.
I know you know that too well, Nick.
Oh yeah, I worked at a glass factory for 2 summers.
Oh man,
my dad worked at a glass factory pretty much my whole life. Anchor Glass. That's where I got this glass anchor on my arm.
Okay.
Here.
Shout out glass factories.
Yeah. Thanks for paying for my high school tuition.
Yeah.
Because I was a good Catholic boy. Yeah. At the Catholic school.
Okay.
Still yeah. am.
Kinda. I don't go to church as much as I should, but I'm still a good human, I feel like.
You're the best. You're the best, dude. You're the best guy in town.
Like, Mickey T's a great guy.
I'm like up. I don't want to be top one. I just like to be in the mix, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, number one's a lot of pressure.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Paxton, anything else you want to plug? So you got new music coming. Any shows that you have coming up July or after?
So July, I'm playing, there's this big fair in Mississippi. It's called the Neshoba County Fair.
Yeah.
It's huge. And like, the only way I can describe it is like, if you moved a whole town out of its town and into a fairgrounds for the week, that's what it is. There's that's like, sick. There's campers and like these big 3-story cabins all around it. There's like 300 or 400 of them. Mm-hmm. And, I'm playing there July 30th. I think it's the 30th. Yeah, it's the 30th. John Langston's playing that night too, so it'll be a good time. So I know it's going to be packed, but anybody listening, you should totally make a trip to Philadelphia, Mississippi, and just enjoy, because you'll never see anything else like it.
That's great.
And then I've got a lot of stuff in August, September, October, but I'm going to make a big release with all that stuff coming out here in probably the next month.
Check the socials.
Yeah, check the socials. Paxton P Music on everything.
Spell it.
Paxton Pay, and then music.
Peay.
Don't follow my Twitter or X or whatever it is, because I only repost baseball stuff, Mississippi State or Braves baseball stuff, and it's usually me arguing with people on there.
My Twitter got hacked, and it's all like crypto now. People are like, why are you posting about crypto so much?
You're like, I'm not.
That happened to my old Twitter, and it was like this guy like promoting like me selling cars and stuff, and I'm like, dude, like, I don't sell anything.
Ray Fulcher selling cars. Remember that song? Good song.
Great song.
Yeah.
We miss you, Ray. We love you. We got to have Ray back on the pod soon.
True.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on, bro.
I have a series that I want to start.
Let's do it.
All right. The Surfside B-Side.
Okay.
So what is your favorite B-Side song from an artist in the country music genre?
Oh, man.
And why?
Damn, on the spot. I'm trying to think of mine.
All right, I'll do mine first.
Okay.
All right, let's hear it.
Jake Owen cut a song called In It that never was like a hit song that was written, and Josh Thompson was a writer on it, and it's one of my favorite songs ever.
Hell yeah.
That's mine.
Okay.
Well, I know yours is maybe Houston's Up There. Yeah. That wasn't a single.
Yeah.
I love that Jamie Johnson record, that Lonesome Sound. So like anything that counts on that record, I just love that record front to back. It's like it's probably my favorite country record.
Paxton, what's yours?
Man, I've got like two that I'm torn between.
You can have two.
Yeah.
Back in This Cigarette by Jason Aldean was like my favorite song when I was in high school.
Yeah.
Anything Jason Aldean, I loved all of his records. I still go back and listen to like old Aldean. Like
it's
the
good.
First three records. Oh, yeah. Or probably Lonely One by Luke. That's
my mom's favorite Luke song too.
That's my number one favorite song. I love like the old stuff, or like even the stuff that people just don't listen to. I think that's why I like it more, is because mm-hmm. it's not like overbearing, people, you know, blowing it out of proportion, using it on TikTok sounds. Like,
yeah,
I'll go find the stuff that nobody knows. Like,
I'm like that too.
We do this thing where we let the fans pick a song to play mm-hmm. during the set, and it's not out of the entire catalog, but it's like we'll give them some options and we try to dig deep. You know, it's not like between Hurricane and, you know, Rain's a Portion thing. It's like, yeah. And so we play some songs. I'm like, there are just so many freaking good songs. Like, Call Me, I love that song. You know, it's got that, like, it's like funny, but the melody is great. The groove is infectious. I'm like, this could be a single for anyone. I mean, I'm being completely biased here. I'm like, the song's a smash. You know what I mean? And it's got good steel guitar. So I'm like,
that's a pretty cool little thing to do.
Yeah, it's fun. It's I think the fans like it, and that was Tyler King's idea, and yeah, so it's like, here are three songs to pick, you know, it's like, Memories Made Out of, Lonely One, or Call Me, and then we don't know on stage, so Luke goes, all right, let's find out what it is, and we turn around and look at the video board, and it says, like, you know, like, Call Me, I'm like, okay, and then guitar techs bring over whatever we need, and we just rip the song.
That's sick.
That's yeah. crazy, man.
You've seen that
live. Y'all's set list is probably huge now.
Yeah, I think it's like 26 songs, probably 2 hours. Yeah,
a memory popped up on my Snapchat the other day. I went and saw Luke for free at Kicks on Bill in Memphis. I think it was, stood in the rain for like 4 hours. It was Luke and then Walker Montgomery open, or Walker not Walker Montgomery, Walker McGuire open, and it was awesome. I enjoyed it. I it was funny to me, like, see people, the only people that were there to hear Hurricane, and then I'm there singing the whole record.
Yeah.
They're just like, who is this guy? Why does he, like, know all of this stuff? I'm like, this is what happens when
you,
like,
dig into
it. I
wonder what year that was.
It was like, I think it was 6 years ago or 7 years ago.
So 2017?
Yeah, it was like 2017. It was pouring rain, too.
You know, when
and I did not care.
You said it was in Memphis?
Yeah. It was at a
little tiny outdoor shed with, like, cement circles, like, multi-leveled. Yeah, I remember that show.
Yeah. Pouring down rain, too. When it rains, it pours, I think. Like,
yeah, when it rains, it pours rain.
Yeah, so true.
I didn't care. I was a drunk college kid pounding draft beers in Memphis. So
I was a I drunk care. Band guy.
I always say, if it rains during a show, it's just the perfect time to get super drunk. You know,
that's the only way you can really make it super fun is just, like, let loose. Be like, you can't worry about, you know, everything that's getting ruined that you got on. Just let it happen.
Yeah, you didn't wear the good shoes anyway, hopefully. You know,
that's how you make a good memory at a concert. It's
just
stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a good festival when it's pouring down the rain and you're just tracking through the mud all day.
Oh, yeah.
Rock the South.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. That one was aggressive.
Alabama.
Coleman. And it was still like 85 degrees pouring down rain.
Yeah. I'm convinced. You know, in the South, it's in the 80s all the time.
Yeah.
Except for, like, a few weeks in the wintertime.
Yeah, except for when it's 90.
Yeah. Well, man, thanks for coming on, and thank you so much for always playing events when we ask you to.
Dude, I owe a lot to you, man. Like, you've helped a lot of our crew out, you know, giving us the opportunity to play and, you know, present our music out at Live Oak. So we owe you a lot, man.
We appreciate you, brother.
I'll anything you guys ever need, I'll always be there, so.
Thanks, man. We're going to make you do that when you're super famous.
Floribama, don't forget me now. Always an excuse to go down there.
Oh, I love it.
Hell yeah.
All right, guys. Well, I'm Nicky T.
I'm Kurt Ozon, and we'll see you in the front row.